Thursday, and that means it's time once again on this Comic Talk Today for some therapy. And on this episode of Therapy Thursday, I have the one, the only, formerly heir to the throne of the Nerd Legion Podcast Network, but now down in the gutters. From the Absolute DC, Ultimate Marvel, Aftershock Central, Timey Wimey Podcast, do you do any more? It's Ronnie Barron!
Open bar when it comes out.
Jesus Christ, you do so many podcasts.
Hang on, I'm waiting on a text from Aaron to tell me if this therapy session is covered on our Absolute DC insurance policy.
Listen.
Maybe I should just have to pay a copay.
I signed the insurance policies, damn it.
Oh, that means I definitely have to pay a copay.
Yeah. It's twice your normal copay, too.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah.
So what's up, man?
Busy.
I would think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything new in your life that you want to share with the public? Anything you're angry about that you need some therapy on?
There is a couple of things, yeah.
Oh, do tell. Come sit on my lap, my friend.
Whoa. Let's not talk about the first thing that pops up. Hey, easy. Wow. You can't do that.
Yikes.
A couple of episodes ago, you were talking about the death of Rebirth.
I did. It's dead.
And, is it, though?
It's dead. It's done. Rebirth is done.
Okay.
Look at the covers. Do they still say Rebirth on them? No. They're done. Rebirth is over.
Well, yeah, Rebirth is over.
I see. But... I'm right.
All right.
I win. All right, podcast over. Thanks for listening.
So, do people really care that we're going one way or the other?
Well, I don't know, and that's why I wanted to talk about it. Because I kind of care. But
because
I don't know
because
if
here's
enough
the
people
thing,
care.
Because like, Marvel, even though it gets renamed every 6 months or whatever, has been doing the same thing, like taking stuff out of the Rebirth stuff.
All right, here's the thing, though. So, judging by the reaction that I received on the episode on both Twitter and email, my thoughts are that people do care.
People care that Marvel's marketing sucks?
No.
Because here's...
People care about Geoff Johns, damn it.
Okay.
I know you hate Geoff Johns, but not everybody hates Geoff Johns.
I don't hate him as much as I hate Morrison.
Why are you even on this podcast? How dare you slam the Pantheon? All right,
come
continue.
On. Even Chris Campbell said that Batman run was iffy at best.
Listen, I love Chris Campbell. He's one of my favorite people, but he's wrong.
Okay.
He's wrong.
Okay, so back to point. You were talking about both sides of the world, right? So Scott Snyder, whether you like his writing or don't like his writing now, has tons of new things coming out of Metal.
Yes.
And one of those great things is New Age of Heroes.
Sure.
You don't think so?
Yeah, for the most part, I would agree with you.
Okay.
It's some of the stuff that I'm most excited for.
Yeah, well, I mean, even if you're not particularly liking each and every book of the New Age of Heroes stuff, at least it's fresh and new, a new corner that can expand the already expanded universe.
Yeah, it's the Marvelization of DC Comics.
Yeah, well, kind of.
No, come on, dude. It is.
I know, yeah.
It is.
Yeah, because, yeah, Damage is Weapon H.
Yep. Which, by the way, did you read Weapon H?
Yeah.
I haven't talked about it. What'd you think of it?
It's not too bad.
Oh, I thought it was great.
Really?
Yeah, I thought it was super fun. I mean, for a first issue.
Yeah, true. We'll see. I don't know, I just, like, there for a while we were getting Hulk overloaded, so...
Listen, you can never be Hulk overloaded. Are you reading No Surrender? You should.
I am. Come on. I talked about it a long time ago on the Ultimate Marvel podcast.
Yeah, I just finished recording Nerd Legion with Nick, and we were talking about that. Because that's how I picked up that first issue, because I remember talking to you and Jack about it.
Yeah. And, but then Mike tweets about it, and your ears perk up again.
Well, you know, because Mike's always right.
Well, I'm not arguing that point.
Yeah, see? There you go.
Okay, back on track, though. So, if DC can have both things, right? Doomsday Clock, Rebirth-ish Playground, and this Multiverse-ish Playground.
Yeah.
Then and you take bits and pieces of that, and you still sprinkle it in there from all different eras. I mean, that's pretty much on the opposite side of the world. That's pretty much what Marvel's doing with, like, Avengers No Surrender, for example.
I don't disagree. I think you're right.
But there's people out there that are, hey, do you remember when Marvel said that they weren't going to have a big event for 16 months?
I saw that today.
It's not like, it's not an event, though. It's just sucky marketing.
Okay, but...
Because, like you said, DC, and I'm enjoying both DC and Marvel, and then tons of other stuff. As everybody that follows me on Twitter knows that I read too much stuff most of the time.
Yes.
So I'm not fanboying for DC, and I'm not fanboying for Marvel. I'm just saying that those are the people that can't see past the trees.
No, that's a good point. And, I mean, I read one of the comments that I got on the episode from Ryan, and that was kind of his point, right? Because we know that Doomsday Clock takes place a year in the future, and so supposedly a year down the line, we're going to get the connections between metal and whatever's going on in DC now and the Doomsday Clock. I get that, but my point was it doesn't feel that way.
Right, because all the marketing now is on Snyder and Bendis.
Correct.
Which, you can't blame DC for marketing Bendis, because he's one of the big names.
Well, he's coming. I don't know if you heard.
All the time. But, I mean, if you flip the script and say Geoff Johns was going to Marvel, you know they would be doing the same thing. Because that would be, like, comic earth-shattering that... You know, the loyalist on this side jumping teams type thing.
Yeah. I got an email about that actually, because apparently Geoff Johns had changed his picture on Facebook to the Hulk.
Just a troll?
I guess. I don't know. Maybe he heard the episode and he's like, let me just troll this mother effer right here.
Yeah. So I don't blame them for putting their promotion there, but like you said, I want a resolution. But here's the big problem for me with DC, Metal, and Doomsday Clock. It's two earth-shattering, universe-shattering events happening at the same damn time.
See, you get it. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about, dude. So I'm totally cool with books having different directions. I think it's important. You want to keep things fresh. You want it to be cool. You want people to pick up all your books. But at the same time, like, you know, what Snyder's doing at least doubles the DC universe, right? And that was one of the points that I made when I did that episode. You have the 52 Earths, now you got the Dark Multiverse. So you've got 104 Earths all of a sudden.
At least.
At least. And probably more, right? Because now you can break past the source wall, and you've got all these toys you can play with that weren't around before. And, like, we still don't know what the deal was with the button.
Yeah, right.
Like, they did the button story, the four issues, and it was it was great, but there was no resolution whatsoever, and it hasn't been discussed since.
Yeah, I agree.
So that's what I'm saying.
And it's not like it's getting wrapped up in Doomsday Clock.
Well, sure. But I mean, like, that's kind of the path you take to get to that resolution, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's like a slow burn versus instant gratification.
Yes.
With delays.
And I don't want instant gratification either. So I want to make that clear. It's not like I want this to resolve before they go on to the DC Metal stuff, the New Justice stuff. I just want, listen, we're so like ADD with everything nowadays. Just pick one thing and do it right. And then move on to the next thing.
Yeah. Yeah. One event at a time.
One thing at a time. How hard is that?
Because if not, then you're going to have two huge earth-shattering events that get delayed for whatever the hell reason.
And not just that. If you're doing earth-shattering events, like, how much more earth-shattering can you get than earth-shattering? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how you end up with, like, Crisis and Final Crisis and Return to Final Crisis and Secret Crisis and the Ultimate Crisis.
Crisis. Yeah.
It's crazy. You can't have so many crises.
Yeah. So now we're going to have a crisis. We're going to have the Rebirth Metal Crisis coming next summer to fix all the bullshit here that when we had two events going on and everybody cared about it first and then delays happened and then we tapered off.
Yeah, we're going to need to have the dark multi-crisis.
Yeah, to clean all it up.
Yeah, it's crazy. I just can't do it, man. I don't know. It's making me a little antsy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't want to get to a point where they kind of ruin the greatness that they've accomplished so far with this relaunch of their universe.
Yep.
You know, there was the whole big mess in 52 and all that seems to be fixed. But if you start bringing in all this additional craziness, this earth shatteringness, then we just kind of go back to the same place.
Yeah, we go back to the same crazy loose end stuff that we just had to fix for the last hour or year and a half.
Yes. Well, I mean, we fixed it in an hour in the last episode.
Well, yeah. As in we.
It's fixed. Like,
yeah, it's fixed.
We fixed it. I don't know, man. It's just too much. But, I mean, I like the I like the sandbox. You know what I'm saying? Like, give me more sandboxes to play in. But you know, there's only room for one sandbox at a time, man. There's only right. one of me.
But see, I think that's what Marvel's doing correct now, though. Without the marketing stupidity of Fresh Start or whatever. Like what they did with Legacy. And how they ended Secret Empire that went into Legacy, where we got Voyager, who's a quote-unquote new character, but not a new character in the universe. And some things changed, some things didn't change.
Well, I mean, yeah, that was kind of autographed, I thought. Like, I like the introduction, but once you get to, like, the next issue, you already know, like, this is not a new character. Or, you know, this is not somebody that's already in the Avengers.
Right, which they telegraphed that part.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a fun, new, fresh story, though.
Oh, sure. Sure.
And it harkens back on the good old days. Right. Like, stories from the good old days, even.
Oh, the good old days.
Yeah.
The 90s. No, I'm just kidding. yeah, no, you're right. You're right. And, you know, I was reading No Surrender, and it kind of made me want to go back and read some of those issues that they reference when Voyager pops in.
Yeah, it's not just that. It's like everything that's went to Legacy numbering has been pretty spot on, in my opinion, and brought back that old feel again.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, the thing is, people put so much emphasis on numbering, and I think it's because a lot of people reading comics now aren't, like, new comic readers. A lot of people reading comics are at least partial collectors in a way. And so you want to be able to put things in your long box or short box in a particular order. And, it's just kind of next to impossible to do that in some kind of, order that makes sense, I guess. And so people get a little upset about numbering. It's just, you know, numbering doesn't matter anymore. And once you get over that, then I think it makes more sense to, just enjoy the books that you're getting.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah. Screw the numbering.
Because if they're good stories, then what does it really matter? That's why you're a fan of comics, and that's why you read comics, right? Yeah. It's for the story and the art.
No, I read them to put my kids through college.
Well, I'm glad I bought that Executioner song set from Aaron when I did.
Is that going to be worth millions?
Well, I already spent the Death of Superman polybagged one on one kid, another one's coming.
I saw a set of that at the con this past weekend, and I thought about buying it, but he wanted too much. It was like $10, and I was like, "Nope, there's no way."
Yeah, I think I paid half of that to Aaron.
Yeah,
maybe I gave him $10 just for like shipping too, and he still bitches about it to this day because he thinks it's worth more than that.
Oh man, I gotta check prices, dude. I was on Twitter earlier today. And somebody said that, like, Shazam number one's going for, like, $500. And I just bought that for, like, $20.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If that's the case, I'm selling it.
Flip it.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm not doing that. I didn't buy it to flip it.
Because of movie news, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be... That's how I can buy my Batman 181. I'm going to sell my Shazam. people are crazy, dude.
Yeah.
People are so crazy. There's a... You know, I think that's one reason why comics have ended up taking a downturn is like the people that actually read comics are just so up their own ass that it's hard to get new people to come in because you get these, like, a small group of people who just kind of, like, ruin it for everybody else.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's bad. It's bad.
No, it's just, it's like we were saying, like, with Secret Empire, like, when Cap said Hell Hydra, people lost their minds. And you know, you sit there and you think about it and you're like, these people losing their minds, are they just bitching just a bitch or start an online petition? Because we know Ronnie loves online petitions,
he does.
Right?
It's his favorite.
Or have they ever read a comic book in their life? Because we know that give it 6 months or stuff and it'll be back to the same old Cap.
Dude, I wonder that. Like, comics go on like a 15-year cycle, right?
Yeah.
Where like every 15 years you just have a repeat of the same stuff. Just freaking wait, dude. You know? Just freaking wait.
I would even almost say it's a 5-year cycle.
Well, yeah, I think now it's definitely sped up quite a bit.
Yeah, because we got ADHD.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Everyone wants everything now.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that ruins stories, though, because, I mean, to take your Captain America example, I wouldn't mind having seen Cap be a Hydra agent for the next, like, 3 or 4 years. I think that'd be cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Because it's fresh and new and different.
Yeah, it's new and different. And then, like, if you want, like, to have some kind of crossing over with the movies, which it doesn't really happen too much. But, like, if Chris Evans is going to stop doing Captain America after, what is it, Avengers 4?
Yes.
Like, you want to try something new and different in your movies? Like, just make a bad Captain America.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You can bring somebody else in.
Yeah. And see, I think, like, great events of the past, like, for me, like, Secret Invasion, right?
Yeah.
That was a slow burn. It was a brilliant slow burn because they were also able to pull stuff from the past and kind of fix things because, you know, that was the joke there for a while is, oh, he's a Skrull or, oh, she's a Skrull.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was brilliant because it happened over time. But now you can't do that because everybody wants stuff right now.
Yeah, we'll see how long that lasts, though. I think there might be, like, we might be getting to a point where we're going to start seeing an influx of people coming in from the movies. And I know that, like, this has been a long thing coming, right? Because they've been doing the Marvel movies for, like, 10 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when the movies were starting to be announced, people that read comics were like, well, this is going to be great for comics because people are going to see the movie and want to buy the comics. And, of course, that didn't translate at all.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, I was at this con this weekend, and I did notice a lot of parents with kids on Sunday that were talking to vendors about, like, you know, my kid just watched Black Panther or Age of Ultron or whatever the hell, and they really liked it. Like, what comic can they read to get into that? And it doesn't necessarily mean that those kids will continue reading those books. Because, like, when I started reading comics, my first comics were Cap and Avengers. And for a long time, I didn't read either one. Because while I enjoyed them, I found other comics that I dug more, right? And and now, like, I've gone back to Cap and Avengers because I thought it was really good for quite a while.
Right.
And so I found that interesting to see, like, these little kids wanting to pick up some books. Because we're going to have that, right? Like,
yeah, but
you and I are not going to be around in 40 years to buy comics.
Oh, the hell we are.
All right, well, in 40 we might be, but, like, all right, in 60 years, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. But, you know, I don't know if you're right, though, because now kids want to YouTube somebody reading the story to them or telling them about the story arc.
Yeah.
So it's still that instant gratification thing.
Yeah, to an extent, but I think if you make it, like, easy enough to access those kind of things, you're still going to have people that are willing to pick up those things.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, so, like, Marvel Unlimited, for example, I think is a good example. Because, like, yeah, they're not making $5 an issue, right? They're making, like, pennies an issue because you're paying $5 a month if you do the year.
Right.
But, like, something like that makes it very accessible, right? And I think that fits in well with the ADHD culture that we have where everyone wants everything now and everyone wants everything at the same time.
Yeah, like binging it.
Yeah, binging it. Because you can go on Unlimited and read, you know, a 50-issue run of Avengers and, you know, be done.
Yep.
And that, I mean, that's well worth $5.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But nobody else is doing that. Not yet, at least. But I could see in, like, 10 years down the line, where you've got a Marvel Unlimited, a DC Unlimited, an Image Unlimited, whatever else. And then you have like a set of like niche publishers that are still doing print books that don't sell a whole bunch, but they have like really good stuff that you want to pick up.
Right.
Right. Like you might be paying $6 up for a book because like, you know, it's a premium product.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like comics will be like the iPad of whatever publishing media. You know, you can get it on Comixology for 99 cents or you can go out and buy the print copy for $5.
Yep.
There's always going to be a market for print comics.
Yeah. Always.
But it's just not going to be for everybody. And you know, you see the downward trend over the last 20, 30 years where like the worst selling book was doing like 500,000 and now good luck with the number one book selling 100,000.
Right. Yep. Exactly. Yeah.
I think you see that in a lot of different mediums.
Yeah.
I mean, like, look at TV. Like, there's people that still pay for HBO $15 a month just to watch, like, Game of Thrones.
Right.
And then once Game of Thrones is over, they, you know, cancel HBO until the next season.
Yep.
Or, like, CBS All Access with Discovery.
Yeah.
You know? That's the only reason I got it.
Right.
And now I'm done until 2019.
Well, there wasn't nothing really on there that excited you, though, also, right?
No, there wasn't. There wasn't.
Yeah.
There was. And I think they're trying to bring a couple new things. But, like, even the new stuff they want to put on there doesn't excite me. Like, they're doing a Magnum P.I. reboot. Like, I'm not paying $5 a month for Magnum P.I.
Oh, Zoe would love that.
Zoe would like that. Zoe's a big fan of
Hawaii
5-0. She's
Hawaii 5-0, right?
Yeah. She loves Hawaii 5-0. That's her jam.
See? Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that's kind of, like, the trend that we're going to start seeing. Especially, like, with DC going to these new imprints that they're doing. Nick brought up a good point. Like, when they do the Ink and Zoom, there's no way they can do those books at $3.99.
Why not?
Well,
you mean to go cheaper, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, maybe. What if you put it in Scholastic?
Well, but no, but not for a single issue, right? Because, like, that's the reason. So, the reason for this move, from my understanding, is that Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur sells, like, a crap ton of copies in Scholastic.
Yeah. Yeah, and Squirrel Girl, too.
And Squirrel Girl. But not comics. They're selling trades.
Yeah.
Right? So they're putting out a monthly comic just to build up for a trade.
Yeah. And like, activity books and coloring books.
Yeah,
and
coloring
whatever.
Books, all that stuff.
Yeah.
That's where the money's at.
Yeah.
And you got to think, like, how many copies they must be selling to be able to put out a monthly book just to break even on the trade that's going to come out 6 months down the line.
Oh, I bet, I don't know, man. I bet Scholastic and, like, Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur sell, like, gangbusters to even profit from making 4 single issues.
Oh, I would think so, right?
Yeah.
I would think so. And, I mean, it depends on the page rate. I tried to figure that out one time.
Well, and you think about it, those two, Squirrel Girl and then Moon, or Devil Dinosaur and Moon Girl.
Yep.
They hardly have variants anyways.
Oh, yeah. They don't need them.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're just print. You might as well print dollar bills.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting model, too, that I hadn't thought about. Because you've got, like, DC. DC only does the one variant cover. And aren't they – I think their ratio the same as the 8 covers, right? You can just, like, order A or B.
Yeah, correct.
Whereas you have other publishers that kind of survive on the ratio of variants, like Boundless, for example.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Boundless, they can't sell but a couple hundred copies of any book.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt that. But they have, like, the 1 in 5,000 nude porno, you know, like, rear-end variant.
Yep.
And if one person buys that for $500, then I guess that covers their print costs.
Yep.
You know, or, like, Valiant. Valiant always does, like, the 1 in 10, 1 in 25, 1 in 50, 1 in 100. Now the 1 in 500.
They have A, B, and C, though. Right?
Yeah, they almost. Do. They do have A, B, and C, yeah. At least A and Bs. And in some books, they have a C variant also.
Okay.
And I think those are distributed evenly. So if you order, like, 99 copies, you get 33 of each.
Okay. Makes sense.
And then the, you know, 2 in 150s and 1 in 100. But that was fixed because the way that Diamond had their order set up, for a good chunk of time, when variants were becoming really popular again, a lot of comic shops were somehow able to trick the system into just ordering like a 1 in 50, even if they didn't order 50 copies.
Yeah.
And I think all that's been fixed on the Diamond side. But
I know early on, like doing the Valiant stuff, like my old LCS,
mm-hmm.
or the LCS anyways, like I go in there every once in a while now, but they would just like click on it to say that they wanted it, no matter if they had like 5 blood shots or 50 blood shots, and they would send it to them.
Interesting.
Yeah, so you can get like 6 blood shot number 12 or whatever, and then a 1 in 50.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, that's all been fixed, though, so that's not really an issue.
Yep.
But, see, and stuff like that I don't like, because it's an overinflation of sales numbers. And the sales numbers are already, like, kind of like an iffy topic to discuss, because they're never true sales numbers either, you know?
Right.
Like, they're fine to look at, but that's why we generally don't talk about sales on any of the podcasts, because they don't really matter.
No, and especially if you got one issue of something going out in Loot Box or Loot Crate or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's always, like, a special, like, thing that happens that ruins the numbers. The Loot Crate thing was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think for February, or maybe January, there was that, it was last year. That's what it was. Remember when they had that Walking Dead issue that was 25 cents?
Yeah.
Like, that destroyed all the statistics in for Diamond sales, because like
it was only a quarter,
because the book was only a quarter, but it sold like 700,000 copies or something, because it was only a quarter, but they didn't have a proper way to account for the sales, because they don't track books that are under a dollar. And so when you looked at like the industry as a whole, the industry was down like 8% in sales. Because they couldn't track this book because it was less than a dollar. If you actually put in the sales of this book, like sales were actually up.
Makes sense. Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah. But the thing is, like, the way that Diamond tracks things is so archaic that, it makes no sense in the end. You know, and that's why people are a little worried about this pull listing that they're going to be doing. Because to be honest, I don't know how much confidence Diamond inspires in a lot of people.
Well, in our circle, not very good confidence at all.
Oh, in our circle, we hate it.
Yeah.
It is terrible. So, it's a terrible system.
Yeah. So that's Diamond needs competition.
Yeah, they do, but who's going to compete with them?
I mean, the biggest person to compete with them right now is DCBS, right?
Well, yeah, but they're getting their books from Diamond.
Well, I know. I know that, but I'm just saying, like, there is nobody to compete with them right now.
No, there's not. The only way for there to be a Diamond competitor now, because they've been the only distributor for...
Since early 2000s, right?
Is it that soon? I was going to say even earlier than that. But yeah, you're probably right. Late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
Because I think there was that other one in Marvel bought them. And
yeah.
I don't know why they bought them, because they don't distribute their own stuff.
Yeah, which is weird.
Yeah. But I mean, like right now, that's the only other option, right? Like if Marvel or DC decide they're going to distribute their own books, that's the only other way you're going to get competition.
Yeah.
And I don't see that happening, to be honest with you. I mean, I don't know. Now that Disney buys everything, maybe at some point they will.
I don't know. But, bring back the old mail-in subscriber thing so we can get comics and brown paper stacks again.
Dude, that was the best.
It was good.
It was so awesome.
It was like Christmas every time you came to the mailbox.
Hell yeah, and it was cheap too. It was like $12 a year.
Yeah, yeah, for a title.
Yeah, for a title. Well, it didn't seem cheap at the time, though, you know?
Yeah,
so
right.
You're like, well, crap, I'm paying $1.25. I got to pay $12 all at one time?
Right.
And now it's just like, yeah, okay. I'd be down for that.
And then sometimes, like in the odd years, they would sell like 2 titles for $15 a month a year or whatever.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
That was awesome. Shame on you guys for not doing that anymore.
Bring it back.
Who does that? You can do that through Alterna.
Yeah.
They do mail order. You can get the whole year subscription for like peanuts.
Yep.
Because their books are $1.50.
Yep. Sucks if you're allergic to peanuts, but you know, well, whatever.
You know. Sucks if you're allergic to newsprint too.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's so tough. But I don't see any other way for anybody to compete with Diamond. Because there's no money in print anyway, in print of anything.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
Right? Like, all that stuff has gone away. I saw, like, it was like a week or two ago, Apple bought, like, some, like, the Netflix of magazines. And, like, I had heard of this thing before because they were advertising on some podcast I listened to. And when Apple bought them, I went and looked at it. Dude, and it was cheap as dirt. It was like $5 a month for like 600 different magazines. It was like a Marvel Unlimited of magazines. Like, I don't want to read magazines because by the time they come out, it's just old news.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Like, unless you're doing like actual journalism, like long form articles, like there's no point. Anything that's news, I already saw like 3 weeks ago.
Yep.
And,
it came in my Twitter feed.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly.
Hence, again, the instant gratification thing.
Yeah, but, you know, the problem with the instant gratification is sometimes you get stuff that just isn't worth a damn. Like the 10 times that Thor died, like, I don't care. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, the different list, you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Like, 5 times Gamora kissed a dwarf. Like, shut up, dude. Like, I don't want to read that. If you want to give me something informative, then, like, maybe I'll read your top 10 list. But, like, when they just do these stupid things, it just annoys the hell out of me. Or, like, when they do the, redacted dies in blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, that's crazy. Right,
look, that's cool. But, like, yep. why are you doing it?
Yeah. Especially, if, like, 2 hours after that book came out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I get the wanting to be first in the race thing. But, like, come on, dude. Give me, like, a little bit of time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, not all of us have time to just read comics the second they come out.
Yeah. It's like, let it breathe. I mean, why ruin it for people?
Yep.
That's like, I know you guys don't watch wrestling, but, like, one of the things, like, it's almost WrestleMania season, or it is WrestleMania season. Mm-hmm. And so, like, for the last couple of weeks, they would announce who's getting inducted into the Hall of Fame, right?
Mm-hmm.
But instead of doing it at when Raw started Monday night, like they'd let ESPN or CBS or somebody break it like then. And I'm like, why not just wait like 4 hours and then you could do it on your own show?
Right. Right. There you go. Yeah. I don't know. Some of the stuff, it doesn't bother me for certain mediums over others.
Yeah.
I think the key for a lot of this stuff is just to be mindful of how you access information, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, obviously, if somebody puts out an article, it doesn't mean you have to click on it. No matter how good the headline is.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how good the headline is. Matter of fact, I'm looking at my Twitter feed now. Here's one. Great headline. Oh, snap! Krypton earns its Man of Steel moment. I kind of want to click on that.
Yeah?
But I haven't started watching Krypton, so I'm not going to.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I haven't either.
They just need to quit with this bullshit. I'm tired of it. Oh, my God. Comics, man. I tell you. Is there a way comics we just get paid great to read comics?
I wish. I've been trying to figure that out for the last 20-plus years.
Jeez. I mean, I'm looking at my list of comics I'm going to read over the next couple days for Saturday's episode. Let's see. I got 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. I'm going to be reading 15 comics.
Is that all?
By this weekend's episode. I mean, that's not all I have to read, but that's what I'm going to read by this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I'm going to get even more behind when we go to C2E2 next week.
No kidding.
Because not only am I going to buy more there, but I won't be reading there.
Look, I've made a solemn promise to myself, and I will not be buying any books at C2E2 unless I read all the books I bought last year at C2E2 before this year's C2E2.
Okay, so you can't buy that shock book then.
Well, I mean, I'm going to buy that anyway because I have to. But that means I have 9 days to read. I don't know. There's like 20 books in my truck right now.
Yeah.
From last year.
Yeah.
Plus all the stuff that I want to read that came out this week.
Hey, it's okay. You can be like Mike, right? There you go. Episode title. Be like Mike. And it's just a library, and you can read it whenever you want to.
That's a good point. That is a very good point. I'll think about that. I don't know if I can do that, man.
yeah. There's some things, like, new this week or new every week that I got to keep up with.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I'm afraid that somebody's going to spoil it or whatever, because by the time I get to read it, most of the time, stuff's already spoiled anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But it's mostly just because there's that many good books out that I want to keep up with.
Yep.
That I don't want to fall behind on.
Yep. Well, see, and the problem is I get into rabbit holes because, like, Nick and I were just talking. And
yeah.
We started talking about What If books, and I went on Comixology, and they've got 7 volumes of What If for, like, $5 a piece.
Mm-hmm.
And those were amazing. So now I have to go and read 7 volumes of What If Marvel Comics.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How am I going to do that?
Buy Marvel Unlimited.
Yeah, I need to do that again. I was doing it for a while, and I got so busy that I didn't even have time to make it worth my while to spend those $5 a month.
Yeah.
So I ended up getting rid of it, and that's a shame. Next time they do a sale, then I'm gonna go ahead and do that.
Here we go.
That's what
Nick Whitmore said at C2E2 last year, and here we are, almost a year later. And it took him 8 months to get his sale. And I was so happy when he did.
Hey, but you know what? He got it.
Yeah,
That's what I'm saying, though. He got it.
Yep.
You know, that's a smart play, dude. You gotta be wise with your money.
Yeah.
Don't be like Martin and just buy everything.
Well, sometimes. Sometimes you gotta be like Martin.
Yeah,
but
sometimes.
But all the time you gotta be like Mike.
This is true. Mike is my hero. All right, let's do. I've got some news bits that I want to cover real quick, and then we're gonna play a game.
Okay.
All right. So first up, I didn't know that Jason Aaron was taking over the Avengers.
Oh yeah,
that was news to me. Probably because I've avoided the Avengers until No Surrender.
Probably because you've avoided the Ultimate Marvel podcast.
No, I listened to the Ultimate Marvel podcast. It just somehow didn't register that Aaron was gonna be writing that.
Oh,
because
gotcha.
I remember I was listening to last week's episode, and you guys mentioned Jason Aaron doing the Avengers, and I was like, "Wait, what?" I was like, "That's not true. Freaking Mark Waid is doing it with Zub." But you guys were talking about Fresh Start Avengers.
Yeah,
yeah,
which is the same thing. Yeah,
yeah, sure, why not? But yeah, they had some teaser images that came out. So Thor, Black Panther, Captain Marvel, Iron Man for sure.
Mm-hmm.
No Cap.
Cap's Nomad.
Oh, Cap is Nomad. You're right. I should know that because the recap page in No Surrender tells me that all the time.
Yep.
Shame on me. That's cool. What the... Oh, they do have the whole lineup. Thor, Iron Man, Captain... Wait. Captain America is on the lineup. Thor, Iron Man, Captain America, Black Panther, Captain Marvel, She-Hulk, Doctor Strange, and Ghost Rider.
Interesting.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick that up just for Jason Aaron.
Oh, yeah.
That's the only reason I'm picking it up. And I hope that whatever they're doing with the Fresh Start Avengers is going to kick off of No Surrender.
Oh, I'm sure it probably will.
You think so?
That's the whole thing is, like, it's not going to be a reboot. It's, I mean, there's going to be tie-ins or stuff, like Easter eggs of stuff if you still read it.
Yeah, yeah. I remember when they announced Fresh Start, I saw Donnie was talking about it, and Rosenberg were like, everybody chill out, like... It doesn't mean anything. They're just renumbering. The stories are just mm-hmm. continuing from where they left off.
Yeah.
So that's cool. I hope that's the case. The thing is with the... God, dude, I just want... Can they just do, like, a freaking Black Order comic?
Yeah.
That
needs
so
to happen.
Badass.
Yep. That needs to happen.
That No Surrender, man. Oh, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
That is good. I guess if Captain America's coming back, there's got to be some kind of thing in No Surrender where he comes back.
Yeah.
But
he's been Nomad in it for like 3 or 4 months now, I would say.
Well, I thought it was longer than that, cuz didn't he have that team that was like, it wasn't Secret Avengers. Remember he recruited Deadpool and like some other people into his team. It was like an oddball team. And it was the old man Steve Rogers. You remember that?
So before Secret Empire?
Yeah, it was before Secret Empire.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. It's like he's been nomading it since Secret Empire ended. So now it's time for him to, you know, he's not guilty anymore or feels guilty. So now he can get right with the man.
Get right with the man. That's a good episode title, too. Anyways, I'm going to look forward to that. I cried a little bit with that last Thor issue, so I hope Jason Aaron brings some of that emotion into the Avengers.
Yeah.
Make Avengers great awesome. Again.
There you go. Hashtag.
Hashtag MAGA. No, we can't do that. All right, next one up is a new miniseries, Death of the Inhumans, by the greatest writer in comics, Donny Cates.
Huh. I thought we already had Death of the Inhumans with the TV show.
Look. Oh, snap. Got him. I never finished that, by the way.
Me neither.
I watched up to episode 6, I think, and I was like, I'm done with this.
Yeah.
It's so bad. But, yeah, Donny Cates and Ariel Olivetti. That's a good team up, dude. That's a good team up. Apparently, Black Bolt is canceled, which is a shame on you, Marvel, because Black Bolt is definitely top 5 at Marvel right now. Are you reading that?
Yeah, definitely.
What's his name?
That's def.
Damn it, I can't remember the guy's name. I want to say Samid something, but that's probably wrong.
Yeah, I think that's close.
Yeah, it's probably close. But yeah, Black Bolt's been fantastic, so that's too bad. But what's the deal with this? I mean, I know this like just came out, so you probably didn't even read the announcement. But is this like a Fox Disney thing? Now that Disney's buying Fox, they're just gonna put the Inhumans back in the jar and just be all X-Men all the time?
It kind of feels that way, doesn't it?
It does, right? Because this is what they did when they got rid of the X-Men.
Or Fantastic Four.
Yeah, or the Fantastic Four. It's like, just you guys go, like, disappear in some dark multiverse somewhere.
Yeah. We'll just put... Or, since they've been throwing Inhumans down our throat so much, they're like, okay, well, we'll put them on a shelf for a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. They're probably like, people hated that show. Let's just make them go away.
Yeah, because of that show, nobody's going to buy the books, even if we put Donny Cates on it.
Golly! So. That's a shame. Shame on you, Marvel. Yeah, this cover looks badass. I'm trying to think what else. Oh, Marvel News. Infinity Wars. I made a joke in our Discord.
Oh, yeah?
Because they teased Infinity Wars today, and apparently they're going to be revealing Infinity Wars at a panel at C2E2.
Oh.
Which leads me to believe that whatever other panel is going on at that time will be completely empty.
Yeah.
And everybody will just be in line for the Marvel panel.
Maybe it'll be the Ninjak versus panel.
What's that?
Yep, exactly.
Never heard of
crickets.
It.
Crickets.
Never heard of
crickets.
It.
Crickets.
But yeah, I mean, I guess this was kind of... I mean, everyone thought this would happen, right? Because you've got Infinity Countdown now. Like, you gotta count down to something.
Well, yes, but, and also, Marvel was the only big publisher that wasn't there last year.
No, they were there.
No, they weren't there.
Yeah, they were. Dude, their booth was right next to the Valiant booth.
Okay, they had a booth, but, like, they didn't have special signings.
Nope.
That Marvel, you know, or whatever. They didn't have, you know, their own panels or anything.
They did, they did have a panel. It was packed. You didn't see it because you were sleeping.
Oh.
It happened at the same time as the Aftershock panel.
Okay.
And people were lined up for that panel like Thursday night. I'm serious.
Huh.
Yeah. But this year they do have more panels because I know Mark Waid's got one.
Yeah, and they also have a Marvel signing table too.
Yep, yep.
Like because Jason Aaron and Jason Latour is going to be there also for that.
Have dinner with Donnie and Martin. Or Ronnie and Martin.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah. Any thoughts on Infinity Wars?
The movie? Or the comic book?
The comic.
Oh. I don't know. I'm Jack and I have discussed it a little bit online and offline. So recorded and unrecorded.
Yeah.
The countdown stuff didn't really excite me all that much. It was cool. Some of it was cool, like to see the different versions of Adam Warlock in a one huge page spread type thing. Mm-hmm. But now it's almost like metal doomsday clock thing going on. Because now we have like big things happening. Avengers number one, blah, 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 number one. And then now we're going to have Infinity Wars.
Yeah, right, right, right.
So it's almost like too many things in the fire at once.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know, man, like, you know, this goes back to the whole we recycle stories every 5 years thing.
Yeah.
Like, I get that the movie's coming out, and that's going to do really well. I know they, like, the pre-orders for that movie are already on track to be higher than Black Panther pre-orders.
Right.
But, like, can we come up with a new story?
Yeah.
Right, like, how many times can we do this Infinity Stone thing?
Yeah.
With the same characters involved?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think, like, Ultron Pym is, like, the bad guy in this one.
Yeah.
Which,
you're right.
Which, man, like, I'm kind of, like, Ultroned out.
Yeah, me too.
So, I don't know. If they want to recycle stories, what they need to do is Annihilation 2. Now we're talking.
Oh, my, yeah. Now you just shut up and take my money.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. And, you know, what I would like to see with Captain Marvel coming out, because the rumor is that the Captain Marvel plot is, like, loosely based on Secret Wars.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't mind them playing with this cosmic stuff. Just like, for the next phase, start dumping out, like, the Avengers focus and bring in, like, stuff that I want to see that I haven't seen yet. Like the Nova Corps.
Richard Rider.
See? You speak my language, brother.
Yeah. But I don't want to see Guardians of the Galaxy style.
No.
Space Odyssey stuff. Because then I'd be, like, totally out. But if you make it, I don't know, make it semi-serious at least. I know we gotta have jokes. I get it. Because that's what sells billions of dollars. But at least make it, at least one of them semi-serious. And then you can, whatever, make another one.
Mm-hmm. I agree. But anyway, it'll be cool. I'm gonna pick it up. It's Jim Duggan doing it, so he's fine.
Yeah. Gary Duggan?
Oh, Gary Duggan. What'd I say,
not
Jerry?
You said Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Oh, that's why. Dude, I always get him confused, and I don't know why. I always that's do funny. That every time.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. My bad.
Kind of like Dry County.
Sorry, Hacksaw. It is Dry County, god darn it.
I know, but you keep saying Dry Country.
I know, because I like that better.
I wouldn't like a Dry Country.
Well, the thing is, there's the, what's it called? Harrow County.
Yeah.
And for and what's the other one? God Country. There you go.
God Country, yeah.
So, because it's like the same thing, you know what I'm saying? It's like two words with a count word in it, and I just meld them together.
Yeah.
You're right.
I get
it. It's Dry County, which is very good. Did you read it?
Yeah, I read it.
What'd you think?
I liked it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You gonna stick with it?
I'm gonna stick with it, yeah, for an issue or two more.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel.
The art was different and fresh, refreshing, but yeah. It wasn't really for me type of thing.
Well, it's almost, it's not like quite comic strip art.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's got that feel.
Right.
Right? It's like very minimalistic.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was good. I know Duan read it. He said he liked it.
Yeah, but he was probably drunk.
Yeah, that's true. That guy.
That's my brother.
Going to the club every night, drinking comics.
Yeah.
That's how you know you're a baller, dude. You go to the club to read comics.
Yep.
Everyone goes to dance. He goes to read comics.
Yep.
Shout out to him. All right. If you don't have any more news bits, we're going to play a game.
You want to play a game?
We're going to play a game. And this game, you're a Marvel fan. This game is called Ronnie Baron, Are You a True Believer?
Oh, okay.
Are you ready?
Sure.
I know, Ronnie, that you are a master of names. Every time you have to do creator shout-outs for a book.
Yeah.
You get the names perfectly correct.
Most of the time,
every single time.
Mm-hmm.
So for my first question, I'm going to give you an easy name question.
Oh, Lord.
What is Peter Parker's middle name?
Richard.
Richard. Are you sure about that?
No, but that's...
I'm going to give you some choices then. Your choices are William or Benjamin.
Benjamin.
You are correct! That's so dumb, though.
Why?
Is that like a retcon thing? That wasn't his like original name, was it?
No, I thought Richard was, but I mean, I don't know.
It almost seems like that's something they retconned to like
fit
the Uncle Ben thing.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. I don't know. Dang. All right, here's an easy one. One of the greatest Marvel stories to ruin the X-Men franchise. Which character said, "No more mutants"?
That's easy. And that's not the worst event.
Oh?
Yeah.
Which one would you say is the worst one?
The one that Jason Aaron did.
Oh, don't you badmouth Jason Aaron on this podcast.
You know he's like one of my top writers, but that one was bad. Anyways, that was Scarlet Witch.
Ding, ding, ding. I guess I should use the bell. I got a bell. I should use it. All right, here's another easy one, because this is coming up. Which villain possessed the Infinity Gems, or Stones as they're called nowadays? I guess Gems is not PC anymore.
Yeah. Which one possesses them?
Yes.
Thanos?
Ding, ding, ding! All right. I got another name question for you. This one is a little tough, I'm not going to lie. Now, I want the real name of the character known as Black Widow. Be careful, this is a trick question.
Okay. Like, what's her real name? Like the actress?
No, or the character.
So, Natasha Romanoff?
See, I knew you would say that. That's why I said this is a trick question. That is not her name. That is one of her aliases. Her real name is Natalia Alyanovna Natasha Romanova.
Oh, yeah. I would have ruined the hell out of that.
See? You know the Russians have like 30 names.
That's true.
All right. On to something different. Let's do, let's see. This one's too easy. All right. Which comic book writer created Hawkeye?
Which comic book creator?
Sure, that's fine.
Is that what you said?
I mean, I said writer, but creator works too.
Oh. We're gonna go with, I know it's probably wrong, but we'll go with Stan the Man.
Correct. Dude, I mean, if it's an early Avengers, chances are.
Yeah, chances are. You know,
if it was created from like 62 to like 75, chances are it was Stan Lee.
Yeah.
Alright. Next one up. Who killed the mutant Charles Xavier? In the greatest crossover of all time, aside from Inhumans versus X-Men, the Avengers versus the X-Men.
I don't even know.
All right, I'll give you some options.
Okay.
Is it Magneto? Is it Cyclops? Or is it Legion?
I'm going to go with Cyclops.
Cyclops, and you are correct. Man, you are on a roll, Ronnie Baron. You are a true believer, it might seem.
Enough said.
All right, this one might be a little more difficult. In which planet was Galactus born?
Uranus.
Oh!
Let's see.
I should give you a bonus point for that.
Do I get options for this one? Or no?
Well, I didn't think too hard about this one, so I have options for you, but it might be a giveaway if I give you the options.
Okay. Okay. Let's see.
That is close. That's a close answer.
Is it Galleon? No, that's not it.
Man, you are close.
Yeah. I don't know.
His homeworld is Ta'a.
Okay. And then Galleon is the humanoid that he possessed.
There we go.
Okay.
All right. After Flash Thompson finished bullying Peter Parker, he became...
Venom.
Good answer. All right.
Nick's favorite Venom.
Nick's favorite Venom. Now let me ask you.
Mm-hmm.
Flash Thompson Venom. Rank these in order. Venom, Agent Venom, and Anti-Venom.
In order?
Yeah. Your personal preference if you have one. This is not part of the test.
Okay. Venom, probably how you said them.
Yeah.
Venom, Agent Venom, and then Anti-Venom. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. I never got into that Anti-Venom stuff.
It was overdone by then.
Yeah.
Like, Carnage was cool, but then after that, then we had the Symbiote Wars, and then everybody was a symbiote,
yeah.
And then we had Exo-Manowar, and then...
Yeah.
Oh, wait, sorry.
Venom Space Knight, you mean.
Yeah, there
yeah,
you go.
Yeah, I'm with you. I never read that stuff either. There were so many, and I didn't even know about it. It's like I was reading something, I can't remember what it was. They were talking about toxin, and I was like, what the hell's toxin? And I looked it up, and that was a bad idea, because then I went into the rabbit hole of the 300 billion symbiotes that are in the Spider-Man universe. Maybe one day. All right, Spider-Man. You like the Spider-Man.
I do like the Spider-Man.
He spins webs like no one else can.
That's right.
What are the names of Peter Parker's parents? Now, I'm going to give you a hint. If you recall my first question.
Yeah, his dad's name's Richard.
Uh-huh.
But it's his mom. Is it Martha?
Oh, that would be amazing.
That would be amazing, but I know it's not Martha.
It's close. It's Mary.
It's Mary, yeah.
But if it was Martha,
which is weird,
that would be an epic crossover.
Which is weird since, you know, he dates and was married to Mary Jane.
Well, I mean, this is comics.
I know, but...
There's a lot of that that stuff. Have you read Deathstroke? I mean, look at Deathstroke. He's like banging his daughter and stuff. All right. What is the name of Wolverine's biological son?
Dagon?
What's his real name?
Oh, God dang it. Because he just showed up again.
He did.
Damn it.
By the way, this is my least favorite Wolverine ripoff.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, I'm going to give it to you because you got the character name right. But his real name is Akihiro.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Bonus point if you can tell me who killed his mom, a.k.a. Wolverine's wife.
Lady. Damn it.
Lady
She's got
damn
the long...
it is incorrect.
I know. She's got the, am I close with that?
Nope.
Is it... No?
Are you talking about Lady Deathstrike?
Yeah, there you
no,
go.
No. It was the Winter Soldier.
Oh, wow.
She was killed in 1946.
Hmm.
All right. Here's another easy one for you. Which member of the Guardians of the Galaxy is related to Thanos?
Gamora.
Yeah. That's going to be the best part of that movie, by the way.
Gamora?
When they have little baby Gamora hand reaching up to Thanos.
Yep.
I'm going to cry in that part. I know it.
Yep. Because that's a symbol of unity. Because green-skinned people and purple-skinned people can love each other.
That's right. Amen. Make Avengers great again. In Civil War, Captain America fought against...
Tony Stark, Iron Man.
Bing, 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 bing. Damn, I gotta learn to use this bell. Jeez. All right, who brought the original X-Men members to the present time in all-new X-Men number one?
Who brought... Read that one more time.
All right, who brought the original X-Men members to the present time in all-new X-Men number one?
So, the kid X-Men team.
Yes.
Okay.
The team from the 60s.
Yeah. Kitty Pryde.
Ooh. Close but no cigar. It is the Beast.
Okay.
That guy always causing trouble.
Yep.
All right. Let's see. This one's too easy. Let's skip that one. All right. Complete Rocket Raccoon's line. Blam! Ended you. Or is it? Blam! Murdered you.
Murdered you.
Correct. Man, you are on a roll, True Believer. After Jean Grey died, Scott Summers began dating who?
Emma Frost.
The greatest mutant of all time. Correct. Correct. All right, we're going to end this with an easy one. Which characters have served as the Ant-Man?
You have Hank Pym.
Correct.
Scott Lang.
Correct.
There's one more.
The worst one.
Yes, because he...
I'll give you a hint.
For it.
It's a very Irish name.
Yeah, I'm done.
Eric O'Grady.
There you go.
All right, okay. I'm gonna go ahead and I'll give you 2/3 of a point.
Awesome.
For that one.
I win again.
And since you had the first one correct, you had the bonus answer correct, I will give you full points, Mr. Ronnie Barron. Let me tally up your score here. I believe that gives you a perfect score.
Ooh.
Of 17 out of 17.
Wow.
It seems to me, Ronnie Barron, like you are a true believer.
Yeah.
I guess I should round up the scores. Aaron Bell has also a perfect score. You guys are tied for first place. Unfortunately, his episode, while it came out, the trivia part did not, because apparently I don't know how to record a podcast.
You'd think you would learn every once in a while.
You would think, after all these years, I would know how to record a podcast. But alas, I don't. You guys are tied for first place. Friend of the show, my co-host of the Nerd Legion, also recorded one with me that has not been released yet.
Ooh.
He is in second place, and I'm not going to say his score, because that episode's not out yet.
Okay. And that's the beautiful.
The beautiful. Wonderland. The enchanting. It's Rainbow Unicorn himself, Nick Wetmore.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to plug before we wrap this episode up, Mr. Ronnie Barron of A Billion Podcasts?
No, I don't.
Fantastic. Of course, you can follow Ronnie and all his shenanigans on Absolute DC Podcast, Ultimate Marvel Podcast, Timey Wimey Podcast Hour, The Open Bar Podcast, The Aftershock Central Podcast. I didn't miss anything, right?
Nope, that's it.
On the Twitter machine, at Rombar316, because he loves Steve Austin so much, he had to put the 316 on there. You can follow me at Geekvine. You can email comictalktoday@gmail.com, and don't forget the iTunes reviews, hot dizzle. I got a bunch, because I'm begging. I'm gonna do a commercial for this podcast, begging for iTunes reviews, like the Sarah McLachlan commercials. I'll be back tomorrow with Top of the Pile. Thanks for listening, have a good one!